Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the radio podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and in this January edition, we'll be catching up on the latest developments in the business and talking about the priorities for the year ahead. We'll also have a report on some partnerships in innovation, and we'll be joined by Claire Diver, Group Communications Director. In the studio with me, as always, is BAE Systems Chief Executive Charles Woodburn. Charles, welcome to the podcast, and a belated Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much, Tim, and the same to you.
Now, first of all, did you have a good break, and did you get time to recharge the batteries?
Excellent break. Thank you very much. Quiet time with the family. Got out on the bike a couple of times and very much enjoyed it. And at the same time, I appreciate that there were a lot of people in the business working through the holidays. So I'd take this opportunity to thank them all for their efforts.
Well, as we start the new year then, what does 2018 look like for BAE Systems? That's a big question, I know, but give us an overview if you can.
I'd characterise it as a year of both challenge and opportunity. We knew and we'd signalled coming into the year that we do, in some parts of the business, have some challenges, like the air sector, with respect to, for example, the Typhoon and Hawk production. We have some challenges to overcome. Elsewhere in the business, we have a lot of opportunities. The US business is certainly ramping up in terms of production on a number of programmes, which is a good place to be, but at the same time does bring with it some challenges. We have some huge opportunities that we're bidding on and waiting to hear on in Australia, for example. So I think, you know, we really do characterise it, as I said, as a year of challenge and opportunities.
Okay. Now, a couple of days after we recorded the last programme, you announced a big contract win for Typhoon. You mentioned Typhoon there. Now, rather than me ask you about that, on the line we've got Anderson Coleman, a senior quality manager from Wharton, who'd like to find out a bit more about this contract. So, Anderson, hello, welcome to the programme.
Hello, Tim.
You're through to Charles. What would you like to know?
So I've got a couple of questions, really, in terms of the Typhoon programs that we have that are currently coming to an end. But obviously, we got the Qatar order at the back end of last year. Can you outline what impact this order will have on our employees across the business and on Typhoon production within the UK?
This really is fantastic news. I mean, Qatar is a new customer for the Typhoon platform, and it's always great to add, since more countries to the Typhoon family. And the important thing is to, in addition to the Typhoons, to get some Hawks on contract. And I think we certainly alluded to that at the time, and that's important for our Brough production as well. And in fact, I had a very interesting and enjoyable visit to Brough. So we're working to try and bring that to fruition. It's important for both Typhoon production where you are, and indeed for the 5,000 employees that we have, both manufacturing and supporting these aircraft. And then you can multiply that over again several times in terms of the number of people that we have in the supply chain associated with those contracts. So we saw that as a very important win. And what it does do is it underpins our future production activities in Wharton going forward. You know, we had some anticipation of the potential win. We did factor that already into our production build schedule. So, and whilst I'm sorry to say that it doesn't change the outcome of the process with respect to looking at the workforce, what it does do is underpin the future.
The other question that I had was somewhat further into the future. And obviously, we know that the UK have ordered F-35, and obviously they're operating the Typhoon. Are you able to outline what's going on between BAE Systems and the UK government, sort of behind the scenes, if you like, to develop a military air capability beyond 2030?
Well, as you know, we've got a very strong track record of collaboration, both within the UK and with partner nations across Europe and around the world. And, I think it is important that we develop and continue that capability beyond both the Typhoon and the F-35. So I fully agree with you on the importance of that. We are in discussion with the UK government around a long-term strategy for the military air sector. And for me, that is a very, very important area for us to continue to develop.
Okay, Anderson, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And we'll have another question for you, Charles, later in the podcast. You're listening to Our Conversation. I'm Tim Smith, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the programme now Claire Diver, who is, of course, the Group Communications Director for BAE Systems and no stranger to this podcast. Hello, Claire. How are
you? Hello there. Very well, thank you, Tim.
We will bring you into the conversation very shortly. Thank you for joining us. Just coming back to you, Charles, for the moment, looking at your strategy then for this year, and you've mentioned this briefly already, can you give us an overview of what that strategy might be in slightly more detail?
Fundamentally, the strategy is unchanged. But we, you know, I've been talking around these sort of three themes that we want to emphasize within the framework around operational excellence and driving the performance of the business, around how we can continuously improve our competitiveness and efficiency, and then, you know, pushing the technology agenda, advancing the technology capability of the group with things like the CTO, you know, role that, that Nigel spoke about on the last podcast, and making sure that those three themes are properly reflected within the group strategic framework. So that's what we've done. I mean, and that is really the refresh that we've talked about. And I'd say it is a refresh rather than, you know, any kind of significant change to the strategy.
Okay, let's bring Claire in then. What's your reaction to this refresh? And how difficult is it to get something like this absolutely right across the entire BAE Systems?
Well, the group strategic framework is well established, I think, as the overarching framework for the group that everyone looks to set their objectives. So what we've done, I think, as an executive committee is come together and think about how do we just realign and reflect the emphasis that Charles is putting on certain elements of the framework within a consistent strategy overall. So I think it makes a lot of sense. There are the three priorities that Charles talked about, and we've also looked at our mission statement.
Well, on the subject, Claire, of the mission statement, what does it actually mean then to a company like BAE Systems?
Well, the mission statement really sets out our purpose. So why do we exist as a company? What is it we're there to do? And what motivates us is there for everybody in the company, but just as much it's to show people outside the company why we exist and what benefit we bring to our customers and to others. So it's about sort of getting people to understand, you know, they could join many different companies with the type of skills that we recruit. Why would they want to come and work for us? Well, it's because we do something really important that really matters in the world.
Okay, and that framework, it should be said, kind of sets the agenda for the year ahead, doesn't it? And what the objectives are, and indeed what the shared objectives are. So what are they in essence, Charles?
Well, what we've done is we've used the emphasis within the strategic framework, the new strategic framework, to set some shared EC objectives. And we've worked hard with the EC leading up to Christmas and then flow these objectives and cascade them down through the business. So that's important for us. We've made sure that they're available for employees to see as part of my blog. Those are the areas that we see as our key areas to push through 2018.
Okay, for the moment, Charles and Claire, thank you very much. Coming up next on the podcast, we'll find out how BAE Systems is collaborating with universities in the UK to explore innovative new technologies.
Our conversation.
Well, as we've spoken about before, BAE Systems' strategic partnership with five UK universities is an important way to explore new ideas and technologies. On the last podcast, Chief Technology Officer Nigel Whitehead spoke about the importance of identifying new technologies that will give BAE Systems and its customers game-changing capabilities in the future. And as Charles mentioned earlier, that's particularly true for the military aircraft business. Our reporter Andrew Fletcher is at the University of Manchester, where students are working with BAE Systems on concepts for aircraft wings that could change the future of aircraft design. Andrew, over to you.
Thanks, Tim. Well, here in the Aviation Laboratory of Manchester University, I'm surrounded by parts of model aircraft, pieces of fiberglass, drones. This is where the students work on their projects. And I'm with two PhD students, Alex Bennett and Will Harley, who for the past year have been working on a testbed for flapless aviation technology. And Alex, can you describe first of all what flapless technology is?
So your traditional aircraft has ailerons and flaps that move to change the lift distribution of the wing. With flapless technology, we replace the moving parts with blown air parts. So there's less complexity, less moving parts, and a more efficient aircraft.
And it's completed a successful test flight already. It's in another workshop just down the corridor. Can we go and have a look at it? Well, Bill Crowther from the University of Manchester is the academic lead for the project. And Bill, looking at this aircraft, what do you make of the work that the guys have done here?
It's an amazing achievement. It's been built essentially by two PhD students part-time. It's very big and it is actually very light.
Also with me is Brian Oldfield, who is lead technologist for advanced structures at BAE Systems.
For us, it's an ideal way of getting young, innovative people working on projects for us. We can direct the work that they do, give them our requirements. Hopefully we get from this knowledge about how flapless flight can be made to work, how we can integrate some of the systems onto our platforms. We will get more affordable, better performance vehicles in the future.
So in the next 10 years or so, we could see something looking very much like this prototype in the BAE Systems workshop. From the University of Manchester's Aviation Lab, back to you in the studio, Tim.
Andrew, thanks very much indeed. Well, Charles, just one example there of how BAE Systems is driving technology innovation. You must see that as a really exciting development.
We certainly do. This is a really exciting development. And I think, this is part of the mission for Nigel and the CTO team is to increase our focus on these partnerships with the universities. And there are plenty of opportunities for us to do more here. And I think the increased focus that Nigel and his team will bring to it will pay dividends for us in the future.
Okay, let me bring Claire in again on this. The range of technology that BAE Systems offers must be of huge interest, I guess, to many BAE Systems stakeholders.
Yeah, absolutely. And teams across the company have been doing a really great job in trying to highlight the technology capabilities that we have, try and position BAE Systems and get the full credit of our technology innovation. It's a good message for our own people, understanding the range of what we do, but also for future recruits, for our shareholders, customers, everybody that works with us.
Yeah, and not only is it important for the business in terms of future capability and advanced capabilities for our customers, but it gives us exciting things to talk about to the outside world, which from recruiting, from opening people's eyes to what a technology company we really are. These are fantastic opportunities for us.
Thanks, Charles, and thanks again to Claire. Coming up next, we have another question for you from one of your colleagues.
Conversation.
Now, we've already heard from Anderson earlier with his question on Typhoon, and we have another question for you now, Charles. This comes from Josh Bailey, who's a secondary propulsion engineer, submarines. He joins us from Barrow in Furness. Josh, hello, welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, hi, Josh.
You're through to Charles. What's your question, Josh?
So my question is, I'm currently working on the Dreadnought programme as we transition into build. I was wondering, from your experience, what do you see as the key challenges of moving from the design phase to the build phase of major programs? And what do you believe the key factors are to ensure their success?
Well, thanks for the question, Josh, and it is a very good question. Dreadnought is the name of the UK's new nuclear submarines, and they're being constructed there in Barrow. And it's, as Josh already alluded to, we are moving from the design phase into the build phase. And it's fair to say that I think in any big engineering program I've been associated with, certainly through my career, that it is a very difficult phase, that especially in a program of the complexity of Dreadnought, where you are pushing the limits of both engineering capability, but also the design tool set that you're using, that you can, with the best will in the world, you can test everything out on the side, but it's only when you transition into build that some of the issues manifest themselves. And the good thing is that we have seen some of these challenges before elsewhere. So I think it's important first to recognise that it is a difficult phase to go through, and we do have expertise within the BAE family that has been through this. And I think one of the things I've been trying to do with the team in Barrow is make sure that we bring all of the expertise from across the group to bear on this. We went through the same challenges on Typhoon, for example, a very different platform in the air domain, but a similar set of challenges. So for me, it's around creating the right environment, getting the right leadership structure in place, providing the right support, education and training for the teams, providing as much support as we can from around the group, and really using the power of the group here to help make sure that we manage through what is always a difficult transition phase.
Okay, Josh, does that answer your question? And if so, you must be very proud to be involved in this project.
I am very proud, yeah. And I think over the last 6 months, we've seen significant amount of change. And actually, teams are really starting to collaborate and work together and being bold in the decisions that they're taking as well. So I'm looking forward, actually, to the next period and moving into the build phase of the programme.
Well, I mean, Josh, you're obviously living through this. I mean, are there any... anything you can say back to us here on the call? I mean, things that that would make your lives easier through this phase?
I think it's a fair question, and I think at the moment we're getting a lot of support. There's obviously a lot of change going on at the moment as well, and I think a lot of it is just working through that change, working together, and making sure that we all help each other to succeed.
Absolutely.
And in doing so, actually, we're working towards a common goal at the moment.
Very good. Excellent.
Excellent. Great. Josh, thank you very much indeed for your call. Thank you for your question, and thank you for that very interesting insight at the end there. That was fascinating. Josh, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Now, if you want to get your question to Charles and other senior leaders, do get in touch with us. Just drop an email to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. Remember, you can also comment on the show or maybe give us your suggestions for what you'd like to hear featured on future podcasts. Well, that's just about it for this edition. Charles, what's coming up for you in the immediate future?
Well, there's quite a lot coming up. I think I mentioned at the beginning that we have some significant bids in play in Australia, both the C5000 and the Land 400 that we're waiting to hear on. I'm going to be, and I mean, given the importance of those bids, I'm going to be going to Australia myself very early in February. So I'll be spending time with Gabby and her team, the new CEO down there. And later in the month of February, we have our financial results, the prelims, which are on the Thursday, the 22nd of February. So we'll be preparing for those over the next few weeks.
Well, good luck with the trip to Australia. I understand we are trying to possibly do a program with you in Australia, myself in the UK. That will mean one of us will have to get up very early because of the time difference. Now, you're the boss, so I guess it's going to be me, yeah?
That sounds appropriate. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see how that pans out. And Claire, thank you for joining us. Claire
Diver,
nice to see you again.
Thank you.
What does the immediate future hold for you?
Well, as Charles said, my teams are all focused on full year results. Also, the annual report is in production now. And as usual, we're keeping up the drumbeat of positive news around the enterprise.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Charles, Claire, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll be linking up with you, Charles, as I say, and also the new CEO of Australia, Gabby Costigan, from Australia, on the next podcast. So you'll be able to bring us up to date with news from down under firsthand. Well, that's it for this edition of Our Conversation. So for now, from me, Tim Smith, from Charles Woodburn, Claire Diver, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.